On Wednesday's front page, Mitt Romney won big in the Florida primary, defeating Newt Gingrich by 15 percentage points. Facebook is set to file an initial public offering. The company could be valued at $80 to $100 million. And they're celebrating in the tiny Spanish village of Sodeto. We'll find out why. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Mitt Romney routed Newt Gingrich in the Florida primary. Romney rebounded from his loss in South Carolina, defeating Gingrich by 15 percentage points. Romney's campaign hopes that's enough to make Gingrich a less credible threat. Gingrich is pressing on, saying it's going to be a two-person race for the nomination. Times correspondent Jim Rutenberg has this report.
This race is now completely upside down from where it was a week ago. When Mr. Romney came here, he was really limping. He had just lost to Newt Gingrich in South Carolina, and Newt Gingrich looked very strong in Florida. But he and his multi-million dollar campaign machine eviscerated Mr. Gingrich through 7 days of attack ads, mailings, and speeches by Mr. Romney that left Mr. Gingrich as the real laggard in this race. Mr. Romney's campaign learned earlier this year that it's not safe to ever assume that Newt Gingrich is dead. One advisor described him to me as that monster at the end of a horror movie who keeps rearing up every time the heroes of the show think he's gone. For his part, he's back in happy warrior mode. He is promising to take this all the way to the convention. But if he intends to do that, that's going to take money, stamina, and the wherewithal of his supporters, who may or may not want to stick through a bunch of losses based on his argument that he can kind of limp his way across the finish line.
Times correspondent Jim Rutenberg in a report filed before the polls closed. Also in Wednesday's Times, Facebook is set to file for a public stock offering. It'll probably value the company at $80 to $100 billion as Facebook cashes in on the personal data that powers internet commerce. Facebook has been collecting that data for 7 years. Now the question is whether Facebook can leverage it to attract advertisers. Potential investors will also want to hear how the company's going to handle privacy concerns raised by its users and by regulators worldwide. The battle over Syria moved to the UN. Western powers and much of the Arab world confronted Russia and its allies in the Security Council over their refusal to object to Syria's crackdown on protests. The two sides skirmished over a Security Council resolution calling for President Bashar al-Assad of Syria to give up power as the first step of a transition toward democracy. Russia was determined to block any resolution that might be construed as a license for regime change. In Syria itself, the violence continued, with government forces pushing rebels back from strongholds near Damascus. They're celebrating in the tiny Spanish village of Sodeto. It's an isolated farming town where people had been struggling under the double whammy of the economic downturn and the ravages of a severe drought. And then, their number came in. Every household there but one held a piece of a winning ticket in the Spanish Christmas lottery's huge first prize. The total came to $950 million. The smallest share in Sodeto was $130,000. Times reporter Suzanne Daly says they had the giddy feeling life was giving them another chance. Inside Wednesday's Times, in Afghanistan, they're already worried about what will happen after Allied troops leave. That isn't scheduled to happen for another 2 years, but the withdrawal could throw off the Afghan economy and even lead to civil unrest. Already, real estate prices, retail sales, and factory orders are shrinking. Afghanistan has been so dependent on foreign money that in 2010, international assistance amounted to roughly 97% of the country's GDP. In Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood flexed its muscles. Hundreds of members linked arms to block a protest march from reaching parliament. The health ministry said more than 70 people were injured when protesters jammed against the Brotherhood's human wall. Inside Parliament, Muslim Brotherhood lawmakers dominated the selection of leaders for legislative committees. America's top intelligence official says Iran and cyber attacks are the top concerns. Director of National Intelligence James Clapper says some Iranian leaders are now more willing to attack inside the U.S. This is in response to what they see as U.S. threats against Iran. In this country, housing prices continue to fall. Wednesday's Times says not all markets are created equal. Places like Miami and Phoenix, where there were devastating crashes, were not the weakest performers last year. That distinction goes to Atlanta. Home prices there were down close to 12% from the year before, according to S&P Case Shiller. Atlanta home prices are now below where they were in 2000. Wednesday's Business Day section says sales were up 35% at Amazon.com, but the total fell nearly $1 billion short of what analysts had been expecting. Among the reasons Amazon missed expectations, video games were lackluster, there were supply issues from flooding in Thailand, and there was a bit of a backlash as a buy local movement sprang up among booksellers nationwide. Investigators have determined what happened to nearly all of the customer money that disappeared from MF Global. That's the investment firm that filed for bankruptcy in October after it made a highly leveraged gamble on European bonds. So far, the investigators haven't said anything publicly. They don't want to hurt efforts to get the cash back. In the New York report, Franklin Avenue in Crown Heights has become the next subway stop on Brooklyn's Gentrification Express. It's been 20 years since riots exploded between blacks and Hasidic Jews in Crown Heights. Now the dynamics of the neighborhood are changing as mostly white artists and families seeking affordability move in. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.